Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a story of spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to know your intuition for creating a healthier, happier life experience. And today I am delighted to welcome Kimberly Friedmuter, author of Subconscious Power, as we explore life's hurdles and strive to achieve our dreams and goals. Hello, Kimberly, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Thank you for having me.
Kimberly, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories of the metaphysical or multidimensional aspects of both soul and physical life in pursuit of understanding our full capacity through mind-body-spirit functions to create our best version of self, health, happiness, prosperity, and to improve the quality of life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Kimberly will share with listeners how living up to your dreams isn't reserved for the exceptionally talented or lucky. It is our birthright to find happiness and begin early on. Well, Kimberly began early on through rigorous training, beginning as an international modeling. She started her modeling career at age 14, later married a world-renowned architect and designer, and was always using her intuitive, mystical gifts to share with people how to tap into the source within them for the creativity and courage to achieve positive, lasting change and to live joyfully. Kimberly, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person or a place, maybe an event, that might have signaled to them or others the life path that they would embark on and the work or interest that might be valued in adult life. So think back, even before 14, when you started your modeling career.
I was going to say mine was fairly superficial, sadly to say.
Maybe
but
not.
I think of this, you know, the most apparent and the strongest thought of someone else at the time, because, you know, at that time we're very involved with, you know, ourselves and our survival and all those things, subconsciously, of course. Mm-hmm. But when I think of this one woman, and it turns out that she was a family member. And I guess I was just meeting her for the first time. And her name was Minnie Lee. And she smelled so good. And she had red nails. And her hair was done. And she was so beautiful. She, as I remember her, and of course this could have nothing to do with reality because you know how that goes. It's always our perception of what we see. But I remember thinking, I'm going to be like that. Like, that's the kind of lady I want to be. And it started with, you know, the olfactory sense, which is our oldest sense, which is our sense of smell. And so I just remember, and I wish I could remember, like, you know, exactly how it smelled. Like, was it floral or was it more musky or what was it? But whatever it was, it made the largest impact on me. And she just kind of breathed in like a breath of fresh air. And I remember the feeling of her. Hazy about the look of her, but I remember she had very light skin, darker hair, and these red nails, and I thought, that's the kind of lady I'm gonna be.
Well, you see, sometimes someone leaves such an impression on us, and it's like a guide coming in, a teacher, you know, a book that we read, and it changes sometimes the whole course of our life. You know, I remember once I was at a funeral, and there was a little girl there, and I thought it was kind of strange to have, you know, a child that young there. Maybe she was 4 years old. And she was standing by me, and she looked at me, and she looked into my eyes, and she said to me, "I just love your eye makeup."
Oh.
It's similar to what you're mm-hmm. expressing here in the middle of sadness or something she really didn't perceive or understand very well. She saw something of beauty that gave her a feeling for what she might want to create in her own life later on. I was very moved by it, actually. I thought a
Well,
child that young, and noticing that, and yeah, I kind of never forgot it myself. So let's go on
right,
to.
and that also goes back to the idea that we are always thinking about our own survival and ourselves, you know, which is perfect point that there you are at the funeral service and she's thinking about her own trajectory for her eye makeup.
Well, but you know
It's very
what?
cute.
She was seeing beauty. It's just
Yeah.
she was seeing something that she could relate to in a positive and healthy way, beyond sadness or suffering. And isn't that what life is? Don't we get the best stuff from literature, from theater, from film, from music, from art? Doesn't it move us in such a way? Even from the time when we're little, we're moved by certain beautiful experiences. I kind of thought your story reminded me of that. Now, you wrote something about your childhood. You wrote, at 14, you were working abroad and had been signed with several world-class modeling agency, but even then, you knew something was missing. So flash forward a decade or so, and you landed in Los Angeles and continued modeling and then got involved in acting, and you continued to hone your curiosity about human behavior, listening to those around you, taking in information about how the world works and how people got what they wanted. And then you developed into a career as a radio talk show host for one of the largest stations in the LA area. And on the surface, everything was rolling along. But as we know, all that glitters is not gold. You wrote that. Despite my very real outward success, I was still conflicted. And I know exactly how you feel, because you felt something in your heart that something was missing that you had to direct yourself towards, right? You had to
Correct.
find a way to understand the bigger part of yourself or your soul or self, higher self, and the world and what you were here to do. Because I felt it too. I didn't use the word conflicted. I used the words in my own book how I was missing something in my heart. My heart actually hurt. It actually physically hurt. So go on to tell us something, a little bit about hypnosis and the six principles of this book, how you created a path for yourself that has evolved into the six principles of your book, and what it can lead people to find.
Well, while on the outside and structurally, I looked like I was modeling and acting and had the radio talk show and all these things, I was really, like you said, honing my skills more in the form of human behavior and what makes us tick and what makes us happy and how do we get there and all these things. And I understand now that this wide, broad life that I had was strictly so that I could relate to others on this larger scale of, real knowledge and wisdom. And I would have needed to have been through all of those things. And it wasn't pretty and it wasn't great and it wasn't nice and it wasn't all those things many times. And then many times it was, just like everyone's life. You have upsides and downsides and uptimes and downtimes. But the thing is that it all gets you to home base. And, when we find that, you just know what it is. And so in my case, it wasn't the book, actually, it was my private practice with hypnosis, because I had the radio talk show and I was just doing continuing education. It was nothing really more than that that guided me into the space. And I had been hypnotized many times prior myself, just therapeutically, for different things. One of the things was stage fright. And so, because I was very, as much as I was out there, it was always, kind of I don't know, within small groups. When you're on a runway, you don't really see the people. When you're in a small group of people and you're talking, whatever, it's not this big thing. But anyway, it worked beautifully. And so I thought, I really want to know the mechanics behind something that works so succinctly, where the client doesn't have to talk so much and doesn't have to go for, 5 years to figure it out and all of this talk therapy, which is fantastic and cognitive behavioral therapy is great. But let me just say this, hypnosis gets to the core of who we are. It's that part of you that, so we're double-minded. We have consciousness and subconsciousness. And the subconscious is all of the touchy-feely things about you, how you perceive things, your values, your beliefs, your emotions, all of those things, your dreams. I mean, the most wonderful part of us and the deepest part of us lies in that part of the mind. And that's what intrigued me, because sickness, disease, all of these, you know, PTSD, addiction, all of these things come from that place in the mind because of our perception. So if we could shift our perception, could we shift all of these things? And of course, the answer is yes, and it's very well studied. So now I just was approached by HarperCollins, a woman there, and she asked if I'd like to write a book for them. She'd been following my practice, apparently. They have people that, you know, scouts that look for a kind of up-and-comers. And so I said I would love to, and it took about a year to put the team together. You need the agent, and you need, you know, to figure out your outline and all those things. And so by the time I handed her the proposal, she had left HarperCollins, and Simon & Schuster snatched it up. And it's Atria Books is the imprint, and they're the ones that published The Secret. What's special about that is, you know, you could say or feel however you feel about The Secret, and it was a while back, but the thing is where do our desires emit from? Where do they come from? The subconscious. So it's really the science behind everything you could ever dream and want, much like the little girl that was fascinated by your beauty. Mm-hmm. It's that. And we never really grow out of her. You know, she's, I do write in the book, and you would have read this part about the 8-year-old, the inner 8-year-old, mm-hmm. where we have this broader wisdom where you really know who you are, like the you inside of you. And when you know her or him, then you're not PC enough yet to really control what you're thinking. You're just very honest and very aligned and very, you know, the truth sayer. And so that's the part of us I like for us to get back in touch to, because that's the part of us that is the touchstone, the part of us that is the real us. And so the more we can connect with that part of us, the better off we are. And so then I, of course, developed the 6 principles, because I needed to lay out my private experience with clients into a way that could fit into a book and could be helpful and useful to those reading. And so the 6 principles have guided many, many, many clients. And I mean, high professional athletes and politicians and celebrities and all of these different people that use this method, and it really works great on every single condition you could possibly have. Even things like, and I call losing your things a condition, but even something like losing lost items, or, you know, misplacing things in the house or the office, finding great parking spaces, all of these things. Because what I said to Simon & Schuster is, I said, please don't let me write a book that's one more thing for someone to do. I just can't bear it. We're so busy, and especially women are just like running around, and we have everything going on, and it's just like, I can't bear to put out one more bit about someone else having to read this and do some things. And instead, it turned into 100 or 1,000 things, if you want to, less things for you to do, because you're so connected to your subconscious, you don't have to work so hard. You know, the struggle is real. And so I'm here to eliminate that for people, so that once they just tap into their inner knowledge, so it's an intuition, the gut feelings, it's all of that, it makes life so simple.
All right. You know, I also studied hypnotherapy, but very shortly after that, I was guided by spirit to study Reiki, which is a hands-on ancient healing system, which, like hypnotherapy, puts the body into a state of relaxation and connection to that higher state, you can say, of consciousness or soul consciousness or the subconsciousness or the inner wisdom that we carry into this life from where we come from, as divine sparks of the universal creative source. And what hypnotherapy does, and what I do during a Reiki energy healing session, is to help people connect to this source which is our true being and the reality of who we are. And I call it soul, and I call it the creative force, the eternal creative force. And like you, I am a soul guide or a speaker of truth that you described at about the age of 8 that you discovered, and how it mm-hmm. is lost in many children because of a physical life and because of the imprints that they're gathering from teachers and parents and the rules, societal mores, and how we spend the rest of our life, as you and I have, in retrieving those parts of truth and the discovery of our true eternal nature back within us. So your book is spot on. It is spot on.
Thank
How,
you.
however we describe it, however we talk about the energy of our loving, compassionate soul nature, it is the truth of our being. And once you know that, everything else becomes that much brighter, lighter, and more beautiful because you just know who you are, and that's a great thing. And you wrote this. Another way to appreciate the benefits of hypnotherapy and the principles of subconscious power is to see how they function similarly to meditation. Just as in meditation, that's been used for centuries in Eastern cultures as a method for assessing a state of enlightenment and transcendence, hypnotherapy also provides a way to harness the power of the universe and bring it into the sphere of the individual. So that's what we're doing. We're doing it right now with
Exactly.
the words. We're doing it right now with the way we're opening people's minds up to awakening to who they are. We're doing it during a hypnotherapy or an energy healing session, and it allows the body to access this higher realm of universal wisdom for transformation and change. And change is inevitable, so we might as well have the tools to do it in the best way possible. Now, I want to get back to the six principles of this book. Do you mind if I read them?
Of course, go ahead.
Because they're important, they're clear. And if you're living a spiritual or if you're doing any self-investigation, we're trying to master your emotions. Any way you're doing it, through any technique or with any teachers you're involved with or friends, you're doing this and you're going to find you may have gone through these processes and might be closer to understanding why you're doing it. So the first principle is I acknowledge how I had created the situations in my life. So therefore, nothing's random. Everything's happening the way you were setting it up to happen with your thoughts and actions. And this is a very big truth. So it's not only a matter of luck that things come to you. It is a matter of how you are setting up the conditions for either positive or negative reactions. And the second
Yes,
principle is,
well, it's actually like, if I could interject, it's actually like if you figure, this just comes to mind, so I felt like I would share it with you and your listeners, is that if you imagine that you've tilled the soil and you've fertilized the soil and you've been a good shepherd of the soil, and then that beautiful seed blows in, it can be a combination of both. I believe that we are all soul spirit, and I love to interject soul spirit into it because that's the divinity. The one thing that has happened exclusively and 100% of the time with my clients and my highest performing professionals are, they'll all say to me that their careers, their life, their happiness, all, I guess it all exceeded their expectations. Now, how does that happen? That happens with that extra oomph that we get from the universe. So I'm very, very, very mindful to tie into that because, again, if you're tilling your soil and you have everything prepped, you know how they say luck is preparation and opportunity happening at the same time. So it's that, you really have your soil tilled, excuse me, and then that seed blows in and it's ready, so you're at the ready. One of my brilliant girlfriends had said, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I thought, oh, I love
Well,
that.
maybe yes, if you stay aware and alert and paying attention, it's always going to come your way. The opportunities will come that way. And then we go on
Yes.
to you reconnect with your subconscious and you learn tools that allow us to bring our subconscious and conscious mind into alignment. Now, I like to think of that, the word alignment, bringing our soul or inner wisdom into alignment with our ego or our physical world reality, and sometimes the illusions that we have that are throwing us off from actually knowing what's more important to us, which would be our inner subconscious soul guided journey on this planet. So, and the next one would be clearing your path of false beliefs and bad habits.
Well, even like principle five, give to get. This is one of my favorites. And give to get is, you know, everybody gets a little itchy when I say it, but the reality is that, you know, we are on this energetic trade system, and the universe is
Yes.
on that, and nature is on it. And like even the dying tomato on the dying tomato vine, right, or actually the living vine and the dying tomato fruit falls to the ground, and in its death it gives, you know, it engages in necrosis, just natural, you know, physics. It dies and it provides fertilizer for the incoming fruit. And so when we, especially women, when we want to be clear about what we want in some kind of an energetic engagement with someone else, ask, just say what you want. People aren't mind readers. It takes out the middleman. It makes it so clear and aligned, because the truth is we do expect something for something. We just do, and we're meant to. You know, we really are. Even like a plant, when you pull a blueberry off of the plant itself, a new one shoots out there because it's meant to. You know, we're supposed to be taking and getting and taking
Right.
and getting and taking and getting and giving. And so reciprocity, that is, you know, something that women have become very coy about, and we feel very bad about asking for what we need. Most people will say to me, "How did you get in life what you know, have?" And I say, "I asked for it. I asked for it. Sometimes I demanded it if I didn't feel like I was getting it. I got it because I was aligned and I was honest and I was truthful about my needs in the completion of this energetic circle." Very important, even with your girlfriends. You know, "Hey, Sue, will you go with me to the DMV, you know, so we can hang out together and spend some quality time? I can't really sit and have lunch with you this week, but I can stand in line with you at the DMV." And she'll say, "Sure, you know, in fact, next week let's hit the, you know, dry cleaners," or whatever. You know, it's about reciprocity, and we'll be so much happier if we do that. Another great principle is judge thy neighbor as thyself. You know, here's the thing, is that we've become so PC about, you know, judgment of, is this person ecologically sound for me or not? And really, we've done our little inner 8-year-old great disservice in not paying attention to that. In fact, you know, if you had a real live 8-year-old next to you right now, how many things would you not watch? How many things would you not, you know, go see? How many people would you not be around to protect this little 8-year-old that you're, you know, entertaining or engaging with? And the thing is that we lose that on ourselves. We feel like we can handle things, but the truth is look at your dreams. Look at how, you know, at the nighttime, how does your subconscious come to life? How does it eliminate information? How does it toss things out and keep things, or magnify and amplify fears? You know, all of these things are elements during the day that we're putting in front of this precious little 8-year-old. And if we treat her with kindness and with reverence, she'll treat us back with our full ecology of successful survival. That's what your subconscious is for.
Yes, that 8-year-old, that little important person that we always were, because inside within us, we're not aging. You know, people say the
No,
body is
no.
aging, and that's why you see older people who have a spark in their eyes, or are giggling, or so delighted with small things in life, because they are retrieving that beginning part of their life and remembering what made them really so happy. But let's get on to, what are some effective subconscious raising exercises to help reduce stress and improve, overcome addiction, perhaps get fit and achieve some of our goals? What are a few of them?
Well, a great one is peripheral vision and engaging peripheral vision. So it's just a quick little exercise. If you close your eyes, and you actually can do it with your eyes open or closed, it doesn't matter. I'm used to having people close their eyes because sometimes it's for clients that have sleepless nights. And so let's say that you wake up in the night. You can close your eyes and do this exercise, but just for convenience purposes of listeners, during the daytime, you can stare straight ahead at a spot. Just locate a spot and stare at that spot. And then slowly allow your peripheral vision to engage, so that that focus on that spot starts to diffuse, and you can start to see to the left and to the right of that spot while you're staring at the spot. So feel how that feels. We all know what peripheral vision is. So you just stare at that spot in the front and let your gaze go off and drift off to either side at the same time, staring at the spot. Now take your tongue and place it at the top of your mouth, versus not outside your mouth or anything, but the top of your inside your mouth, rather than laying on the lower palate. And you just hold your tongue up. The purpose for this exercise, and it's called many things. One of the things it's called is the learning state, the training state, and it also eliminates the ability to feel any negative emotions. Now, if I said to you, I could give you this tablet or I could give you this capsule and you could take it and it would eliminate negative emotions. Everybody would take it, right?
Right.
Well, this is the way to do it, because what happens is when you broaden your perspective, which is what this exercise does through the eyes, when you broaden your perspective, you can no longer monofocally focus on a negative event or feeling or emotion. So, for example, what happens in practical use is if you're having a negative emotion, let's say you're stuck in traffic and you're mad and you're late and you're all of these things, you start to stare at a spot and go into periphery. You can drive in periphery, you can read in periphery, you can do anything you want, you can give speeches in periphery. But what happens is it becomes difficult to access that peripheral vision when you're angry, upset, scared, you know, having anxiety, whatever your situation is, sad, doesn't matter. But whatever it is, it becomes a little harder to open up those eyes and diffuse them out. So this is a great, great exercise for that. Anytime you're feeling any negative emotion, or if you find yourself in bed in the middle of the night, waking up and you can't go back to sleep, with your eyes closed, you imagine the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let your eyes drift out to either side in periphery.
Yeah.
Laying the tongue up on the top of your mouth as opposed to laying down on the palate.
Great exercise for reducing stress, for finding peace,
yes,
harmony, and balance. And it's actually,
right,
something I do when I meditate and when I teach Reiki and do an attunement process. I actually do exactly what you're describing, and it puts me into such a state of connection to the universe and spirit that I am so peaceful and relaxed. Yeah, it's beautiful. So
That's terrific. Because, well, the whole thing is we just want to be happy, right? And we're all doing the best we can. And so, and the easiest way to get there, A to Z, is just literally by learning how the subconscious works and utilizing it. You've already got the mechanics. You know, I'm not selling you anything other than simply a manual to plug in your own machinery. You already have it. It's simply
right.
A manual. So utilize it to your best capacity, because it's there, and it's there for your use.
And what is happiness? Happiness is many things, many different things to different people, but basically it's a feeling of being comfortable in your own body in this life and knowing that you're not alone and that there are many lovely helpers all around, and you can end your fear and look to creating goodness. And I'll get back to beauty in the world, goodness and beauty, and be of service and kindness. And when you're able to be in that state, because you know who you are, this subconscious soul being, then you can really be at peace. So I want to thank you, Kimberly Friedmuth, author of Subconscious Power, for sharing a joyful, positive look at expanding our mind and spirit by aligning to universal source and living according to the energetic laws, such as the law of attraction, which helps us understand the power of our thoughts and mind to create our reality. So for more information on this process and connection to inner wisdom, and to purchase this book, go to KimberlyFriedmuth.com or Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we find that people worldwide, celebrities and politicians, CEOs and people from all walks of life, are awakening to the fact that our thoughts and actions are the source of creating either a joyful, healthy life or one of suffering and perhaps hardship. Knowing how to tap into the source of our subconscious mind, which is connected to all that is and will be in the eternal dance of life, helps us achieve change that brings us closer to fulfilling our life plan or destiny. And mindfulness, meditation, and energy awareness, as well as Kimberly's 6 principles of subconscious power, help to evaluate who you are and who you want to become, simply allowing us to be, not just to do, and is a way to let life unfold according to soul spirit. Kimberly and I would have you open your mind and heart to the greatest possibility for whatever it is you hold dear, and banish negativity in all forms thought, words, and actions. Ask for help from above and begin to observe how life changes and miracles, small and large, begin to happen. Like draws a similar energy or response, as we have discussed, so we must learn to be aware of our thoughts and focus on the best within ourselves and others for greater efficacy and success. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about leaders in the field of spirituality, metaphysics, science, medicine, psychology, and the healing arts as we explore the multidimensional aspects of our human and divine nature. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.